Hey, Reliability Gang, I'm Jonathan Guiney.
And I'm Brendan Russ. Welcome to Reliability Radio, a JLL production and ReliabilityWeb.com media brand.
So, Brendan, out of all these topics that we talked about this week, I want to get away from AI. I want to talk about people for a minute.
Yeah. There's one part of this community that is all about volunteerism, a group known as the Reliability Leadership Foundation, which is made up of these different consortiums that are a bunch of subject matter experts within the reliability and asset management space that are coming together to focus on a topic to provide guidance and leadership of those topics. And one of them that we've noticed here this week is People and Culture at Work.
Yeah, they put out a new book.
Yeah, Passport. And we're very lucky today because that consortium's got not one, but two leaders. And we have both of them with us.
Phenomenal leaders.
Yeah, we have Sean Mullen from Medtronic and Melissa Ruth from Cohesive. Welcome, guys.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So walk us through what it took to get to make this passport, right? So we got a new passport, People and Culture at Work.
Yeah, so we started this in 2019, thinking and talking about diversity and inclusion. And we came to the point where we realized that the bigger picture is if the culture isn't right, you never get to diversity or inclusion or even belonging. And then we ran across the statistic that said if they feel as if they belong, the productivity of every employee goes up 80%.
80%. Huge.
And then we ran into another statistic that said from Gallup, 85% of the country, of the world, believes that they are not belonging in their companies. Which makes me wonder, how do we get, what if we went 5% more in productivity?
And so we started digging into this a little bit deeper, and the first step our consortium really took was we wrote basically a book or a guideline. It was called Breaking the Barriers. And we looked at how do we break the barriers of entry into the field of reliability. And we started with a posit that, hey, a lot of the boomers are starting to retire. Where's the next generation of reliability professionals going to come from? And as population shift is in that, we realized, hey, in order to start driving this pipeline into our field, into our professional field, we're going to have to start reaching out to more women, to more minorities, to, different age groups. And so we started really exploring that. And so we wrote this book called Breaking the Barriers, and that's actually included in the passport manual at the end. But that's where we started. And then that kind of led us, right, Melissa, into this whole discussion about culture. And that was as we started to look at culture and map things into the uptime elements, we realized this was an enabler.
No, it's awesome. I mean, we had IoT come out, last year. Now People and Culture at Work, just like a huge feat for you guys to get through. So congratulations on that. I know it's a lot of work.
Yeah, when we think about assets, and we often don't talk about our people as our assets. And when we look at any kind of software implementation or reliability program implementation, if we ignore the people and the culture that we want to create, we're setting ourselves up for failure. So when you look at the elements within the framework, it allows you to kind of give you a list of how am I considering, say, safety from a physical and mental perspective? How am I considering matter at work? How am I giving people a voice? Those are some very easy things to consider, but they don't often get considered, or they aren't singled out as a specific activity or a specific thing that we could do.
Can we run through the elements real quick? Just give the listeners out there just a little bit of an insight into kind of what this book looks like.
So there are six elements: protect from harm, community and connection,
opportunities for growth,
matter at work,
and worker voice and equity.
So there had to be a defined need to point these out, right?
Yeah. So some of where this came from was the Surgeon General of the U.S. Put out a document about cultures at work and how do we protect people at work. And we started looking at how do we map the Surgeon General's recommendations back into the uptime elements. And everything kept coming back to human capital management. We said, well, there's something got to be more. And as we started to map these ideas, what we realized was they touched all 29 elements, or, you know, all 36 elements of the uptime elements. And there, you know, so it wasn't just one pocket, right? It just like the uptime element framework, all those elements cross-connect to each other. That we found that this people and culture thing touched all of that. And so then we started to boil it down, right? We looked at different ways to kind of group things, and we realized that's where we came up with these six different elements.
Right, and we originally thought about just leaving it under human capital management, but as we started discussing that, we said, you know, what happens is we often think of human capital management as something that HR is going to take care of or someone else. But what we really wanted to explain and get through was it's everyone's job and responsibility to care about the culture within their teams, right? It's everyone's responsibility to take ownership of those. And it's not just, hey, you know, well, this problem exists because our HR department doesn't give us enough of fill in the blank, right? This problem exists because we don't have enough to pay people. Well, actually, culture is made up by individuals, and individuals are the ones who are going to either provide reliability or make it worse. And so when we show everyone that it's their responsibility to set that culture and to speak up when they don't feel safe and to create those connections, now we're creating a culture where everyone works together.
And there's still a big tie-in to human capital management. You know, when you read the human capital management element, it really discusses, you know, how we pay people and we have succession plans and things like that. But it really doesn't talk about opportunities for growth. Why do people leave the field of reliability? Because they don't feel they have an opportunity to grow in their careers. And so that's where this element kind of fills that gap, and then it touches the other elements with that. Same thing with worker voice and equity, and then you've got your whole training thing, you know, and your competency-based learning, but even that doesn't really, there's still some gaps there about how do you make that happen, how do you sustain that. And lastly, the uptime elements, nothing in the framework mentions worker safety, although we've heard it at conferences, the impact to safety of reliability, you know, people who work in maintenance and reliability. There was something missing there. So that's where the protect from harm comes in. And protect from harm is not just physical harm, but it's also, you know, mental harm and, you know, having a safe place to work so that you feel safe, so that you're more productive. So this whole idea of culture just keeps growing and growing and growing. And one of the things we realized in a lot of our talks amongst ourselves was this idea of people and culture at work is an enabler for the other domains.
It's really nice to see you guys draw some hard lines between what we talk about all the time, right? That safety aspect of reliability and more so around, you know, the safety piece at work, right? It's just the protect from harm. It's really cool to see like us take that to the next level. So congratulations on that. I'm seeing the book fly off the shelf at the bookstore this week too. There's like two copies left up there. So that's pretty neat to see as well.
Yeah. And there's been the prompting for the book is just when, hey, we have this new one, it's called People and Culture at Work. And people are like, okay, getting it, right? There was no big, hey, this is a big marketing scheme. No, it was, hey, we have a new passport that's all about how you're going to treat your people. And suddenly everybody went and got it.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time, right? It's not a technical play anymore, right? It's a change management. It's a people process. It's all the things that we've been talking about for so long. So it's cool. I can't wait to go get my copy. Any initial feedback from you guys? Like anything people are talking about as they stop you in the hallway or?
Well, I think it's interesting. We were just talking about that when I spoke at the Wareham lunch before I was speaking and before anyone had talked about what I was speaking about. At our table, the gal was saying, oh, I'm really frustrated because our company doesn't seem to understand that we're people first. And it reminded me that's exactly what we talk about all the time. You know, we look at people and we see them as employees, but we often forget they're human beings first. And so what I'm seeing more and more even here is people are responding to that concept of, yeah, you're right, I'm a human being and I like to be seen as a human being first and then an employee second. And so that seems to resonate with a lot of people.
Now, why do you think we needed to have this book? Happier people work harder, right? We've seen company after company build these sprawling campuses with all these amenities because they're trying to focus on their employee engagement, right? Employee happiness. They make metrics of it. And I think inherently it makes sense that when you take care of your people, they're more productive. Yet we found a need within this community to make a passport about it.
So I think it goes even deeper. You know, we have these discussions all the time about AIM. What's the aim of your company? Why do you do what you do? And the Uptime Elements framework is supposed to help lead you into that. But those technical elements, they don't do things on their own. It's the people that are working in those elements that are doing those things that are going to drive that aim. And when you think about culture overall, you know, why do you come to work in the morning? What makes you get up in the morning, shower, drive your car, go to the plant, and do what you do? That is part of the culture. And if you aren't tied in with the culture of your organization, you're going to leave and go somewhere else where you feel like, oh yeah, I can get behind this company's mission. I can get behind what they're doing. And so I think that idea of culture drives us to do what we do.
Well, that, and we have a tendency to be more focused on data because that's what we've been trained to do. Even in our workshop yesterday, we asked everybody, you know, this is the guy's problem, let's solve his problem. And everyone came back to, well, we need data, we need to give them data. And the funny story is, well, yeah, you need to give them data, but if you just show them the data that makes sense to you and it's obvious to you, it's not necessarily obvious to the guy in finance. It's not necessarily obvious to other people until you explain it in a way they're going to understand that what's in it for me concept, right? So we have to learn as reliability leaders to change how we communicate because we are cognitively diverse, because we all have different perceptions of the information. And I think that's what this brings back to is that thought process of, oh, I am talking to people who came up with different expectations and know different things and have different needs. And that just changes how we communicate that.
Yeah, the workshop scenario was really interesting because we had four different groups that we just picked at random. And one of the groups, as they went through the scenario that we gave them, came back and it was 100% just technical activities that group decided was going to solve this problem. And the, you know, a couple of the other groups, they had those elements of culture that in some of the elements that came out from the passport that would start to drive the change that was needed. And so I think we were able to hopefully point out to them that without this piece, right, there won't be any enabler because technical activities on their own won't just happen.
Yeah, that's definitely some thought-provoking material right there. So as we're looking into 2025, what's next for your consortium and people culture at work? What's going on next?
Wow. It's hard to top like a brand new passport.
It's the same old adage as all of us in here. He did a great job today.
What's next?
Now do it again.
Right. So that actually is an interesting story. What we're hearing is a lot of people saying, this is great information. I love this. But how do I actually implement that? How do I make it happen? And of course, at every company and for every project, that's going to be different, right? So giving them ways of how to put this into action is really our next goal. And that's going to require, I think, some input from the community who's taken the framework and then started to use it, as well as some steps from each element of what can I do to put this into action.
Similar to some of the other passports, and I think of the IoT passport that recently came out, I think we have to start working on an implementation guide. How do you implement these elements into your culture in order for you to achieve your aim? But first, we've got to have people understand, you know, what these new elements are. And so there's going to be some communication, some training, you know, more engagement, I think, and then we can start working on how to implement.
Yeah. The other thing we were talking about is if you just do a Google search just for a random, what is culture, right? You'll see a lot of CEOs and executives are all talking about, well, nobody's really defined it. So this kind of thing is you can't move towards a goal if you haven't defined it. So what is that culture that you want to bring to the table and what are those goals? I think that's probably one of the things we're going to discuss a lot is how do we define that culture and what do we want it to look like?
All right. So sounds good. So as we start to bring this episode to a close, any final thoughts?
I think the Uptime Elements has reached a point where people realize what they have to do, but they're still struggling with how to do it. And I'm hoping that this people and culture at work domain is going to help people along that journey.
Yeah, and I think if I was going to give any inspiring words, I would say first read the framework, and then reach out and provide your own feedback, because it's only as strong as the feedback received. And we've seen this. Sean and I have been working on this since 2019-ish. And we've had multiple people join the consortium, come in for a bit and leave. And every single time they've come in, they brought some sort of new perspective, right? And new growth. And so we wouldn't be here today without all the people who joined the consortium, even if they didn't stay for very long, right? My inspiration would be come and join the consortium, give some input, and be part of the journey.
Yeah, we need that voice.
Yeah, so that's one thing for you listeners out there. If this is something that you're passionate about, you know, give your voice, you know, lend your expertise. You can reach out to Sean Mullen or to Melissa Ruth, find him on LinkedIn, give him a little message, say, hey, I would like to see what I can do to help move this along, right? Because I believe in this. So it's a good spot, right?
Yeah, it's not a big commitment, right? And it's a way to give back to the community that's done so much for each one of us. So really appreciate you guys jumping on with us today. It's been a great conversation. And thanks for all of our listeners out there. We'll see you guys real soon.